getting a crackle.
Getting a crackle. Okay. I am just a man sitting in front of another man, asking him to do a podcast.
Getting a bad crackle. It just keeps getting worse.
Great.
Hello, hello? Should I see if it's picking up or if it's just my headphones?
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Okay. Accidentally unplugged my mixer and then plugged it back in, and the crackle's gone.
Great. Maybe that was the crackle.
Okay. Let's begin.
Yeah, I'll say it again, I guess. I'm just a man sitting in front of another man asking him to do a podcast. And it kind of seems like the answer is no, based on
the answer,
how this has been going so far. Yeah.
Listen, can I just say no and keep it at that?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have, you've said no in so many words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I would hate to bore you with the details, but there is, yeah, the crackle is back.
There's a crackle. Okay, yeah.
So we're just going to hope for the best. Hopefully you're not hearing a distinct crackle.
Make sure your mixer, how is your headphones are plugged into your mixer, surely.
Listen, this is why I said, can we just keep it at no? Because I didn't want to get bogged down into tech help. I'm hoping everything's just working out for the best on the post-production.
All right. Well, let's start again then. I'm just a man sitting in front of another man asking him if what's going to happen, I guess, next. What's going to happen now? Because I'm kind of out of ideas.
Well, May, I actually have a question.
Yeah, okay.
Are there any circumstances in which the two might do a podcast together?
Oh, I see. Yes, you're. Well, that depends. I guess I would say. Yes, I'd like to.
Okay.
But
can I repeat my last question then?
Yes, please. Yes.
How, Mr. Shepherd? How long do you plan to be podcasting today?
Indefinitely.
Yeah, great. That's where it seems like we're headed, because there is a lot of tech problems already. We don't want to bore you guys with the details. Hopefully it's not coming through on your end. Hopefully we're
maybe it is.
If it is, beautiful. Then we'll troubleshoot it next week.
Yeah, we'll troubleshoot it next week. Beautiful stuff. Wonderful. Here we are. It's the
boys. We have to, so I think we now responsibly, now that we've reached week 4 of 4 of this 4-week chunk dedicated to Hugh Grant and Hugh Grant adjacent films.
Yeah.
All of which, not all of which, a majority of which will happen in the month of May. Not all of which, though. One did come out in April.
Yeah, that's
true. We need to come
true.
Up with a
though
pretty,
we're
like,
releasing
punchy,
on such an
like,
odd schedule at the moment.
Hashtagable
right.
name for this like block of programming.
Yes.
The spring.
Right. It's our No Nut November.
It's our No Nut November, yeah. No Nut. Huh, Hugh.
Hugh is good. Hugh and me.
No, it's got to be alliterative. Like No Nut November.
Oh, I see.
So it's got to be Hugh Grant. It's got to be. Yeah. But then we also have to come up like May, neither April nor May start with huh or gruh.
So well, we can do like summer.
We've got to explore. Yeah. Spring more than anything.
Has he been knighted? Because then you could do Sir Hugh Summer.
Sir Hugh's spring
to summer. That's terrible.
I think we're here at the end of the season or at the end of the like content block. We have to brand it now or else it's like the majority haven't even come out yet.
I'm with you. We do have to brand it. Do you need it to be like associated with the month or the season?
It feels like that's sort of, if we want it to be as sticky as something like No Nut November, that's what we
need.
But I'm not married to them. They're just sort of like a template I'm using. It could be like Hugh Grant's huge.
Huge is something.
Aunt. I'll go to Rhyme Zone. This is why are we even wasting time?
So I've put in a chat GPT. Can you give me a great marketing slogan for a month where we only talk about Hugh Grant? Something that's as good as No Nut November.
Better if possible.
And so chat GPT says, grant yourself some Hugh time. Mayhem with Hugh Grant. Hugh-vember, the month of Grant. Lights, camera, Hugh-neek, a month with Hugh Grant. Love Actually, Hugh, a month-long celebration. So I'm going to close ChatGPT now because I don't think this is a
Hugh
task
Grant's
that
vernal
it's
dance.
Up to. Because it's spring? That's yeah. quite nice, actually. Hugh Grant's vernal dance.
Yeah.
Is what that about okay? Hugh Grant? Yeah,
that's
pretty good.
That's a lot to fit into a hashtag.
Vernal is really...
HGVD. Is that taken?
That let's go. Sounds like let's a venereal go. Disease. Certainly.
Yeah. I'm going to go look on Twitter just to see if it's
I don't think you want
available.
VD. I don't think you want VD in your hashtag at all. You know?
Let's see. HGVD.
I think Hugh Grant's vernal dance is really kind of resonating with me. It feels a little bit like the way you're describing it in that like old time. There's a menace to it. It feels kind of like Midsommar.
Yeah. It's compelled almost.
Yeah.
You know? Like it's manic.
Oh God! Yeah,
I think there's only two hits on HGVD. One is a Belieber tweeting at Justin in 2014, and one is associated with the Metropolitan Police Trash Oversight Road Safety Committee.
Okay, I think
so
we can kind of steamroll them. We can steamroll them. Yeah. So
I guess if you're participating in HGVD, which is again Hugh Grant's vernal dance.
Yeah.
Are sort of like 4 week chunk to Hugh Grant movies and Wedding Crashers. you can tweet about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
With the hashtag HGVD.
And TikTok.
Tweet at Justin Bieber because he's sort of already like,
let's get him.
Somebody's already laid a little bit of the groundwork for kind of softened him up for HGVD.
You'll see that he's already sort of like tied into, he's like, oh, like I've been in this since 2014.
Yeah.
I'm neck deep.
So I hope everybody's enjoying Hugh Grant's vernal dance.
I hope everyone has enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. I guess this is kind of nearing the end of it. Kind of depends on, you'll know, listeners, or you won't know. Kind of depends on how long it takes Jared to finish his song.
Yeah, that could be...
Because either you've already heard that, or you don't even know it's happening. So
you may even have to extend the 4 week vernal dance in a mania inspired way, just like Midsommar. We may have to extend it another week and try to patch in another Hugh Grant movie just to to kind of let Jared let his creative process happen.
That would be fine with me.
You can't rush that.
You can't rush that stuff.
I was there for its inception, its creation, and you're going to want to wait for it.
Yeah, we want the perfect form of that.
That's got to cook.
Okay, well, I hope everyone's enjoying Hugh Grant's Vernal Dance. This week, we're talking about Notting Hill. It's the best movie. I think, you know, now that I've seen it, I think probably for the 25th time, I'll go ahead and be on record and say that it is the best movie.
It's pretty interesting to see just sort of unfold before me the exact blueprint you've clearly used to, like, mold your personality around for...
Which guy do you think I am?
Well, we should do dramatis personae really quickly.
Okay, yeah, let's
do
dramatis
personae.
There's a few guys.
Hugh Grant's in it. Obviously, it's Hugh Grant's vernal dance.
Yeah, Hugh Grant's in it. It's Hugh Grant's vernal dance.
Julia Roberts is in it. She's playing some kind of like AI robot who has no, like, expresses no emotions and has no feelings.
She's playing subtle. It's called subtlety. Maybe you've heard of it.
I think she plays a like Hollywood superstar.
She's a Hollywood superstar.
A Julia Roberts type.
But she's just, you've misunderstood. She's just a girl standing in front of a boy.
I think she's playing a little like haughty, but it just sort of comes off a little.
No,
I don't know,
she's just a girl.
I hate to shit on this movie that you've clearly like imprinted on somewhere.
Yeah,
hard, but.
Please don't.
there's also Reese DeFrance.
She's just Jenny from the Block, I think is the best way to explain it to you. You have been confused by the rocks that she's got in this movie. But in fact, meanwhile, what's really happening is she's just Jenny from the Block.
You
know what
I think confused me most is when they were having their fun little like dinner party and her like hurt and pain that she shared to get the last brownie was so completely
laughed at,
inaccessible and unrelatable.
That was funny, and they made a joke
to me and everyone at the party that I'm having trouble seeing her, remembering that she's Jenny from the Block.
She's Jenny from the Block, and she's just a girl standing in front of a boy.
Little Nicky's big brother, one of the two big brothers. Who was the other one? Do we remember?
I've kind of lost you at the beginning, middle, and end of that sentence. It was, none of it really made a ton of sense to me. I guess who's little Nicky? Let's start there.
Okay, let's start there. I think 2000. I'm gonna say one.
Okay,
maybe 1999. I think I was a teen boy.
Okay,
there was a movie called Little Nicky, and it was about
with Adam Sandler.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
I was a real Sandler head. Who wasn't?
Who was
you
it?
You see movies like Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, and you're like, or well, I'm
you just
sold.
Listen to his comedy album.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like, they're all going to laugh at you. And yeah. And then probably something problematic.
Can't stop peeing.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm sold. I'll like follow this guy to the end of the earth.
Yeah. Who wasn't?
And then
like that?
He, you know, his, I think, career gets a little more mature.
Okay.
I've looked it up. It's 2000. So I was 16. It's maybe okay. That's not an accept. Maybe this is an unacceptable movie to
age
love,
to
but
be a Sandler head. Yeah. Okay.
2000. He comes out with a movie called Little Nicky. It's about Satan's two mischievous sons escaping hell.
Is
to
it
wreak havoc on Earth?
Wow.
And the two older sons are played by Quentin Tarantino and Spike from this movie. And that's the only
really?
Other thing I recognize him from. When he popped his head into this movie, I thought, ah, there it is. That's the little Nicky's older brother.
Wow.
From
okay.
a year
great.
Later.
Now I understand that whole sentence. Little Nicky's older brother in it. Can I say someone who's in this movie?
I should say, just to complete the thought.
Okay. Yeah.
Adam Sandler plays little Nicky, the third sort of like introverted younger brother of
okay.
the two older ones, who's sort of sent to Earth to fetch his older brothers.
Great.
And mischief kind of ensues. It was really good.
Yeah, no, it sounds awesome. Can I say someone who's in this movie?
Yeah, please.
Misha Barton. What you say?
Was she?
Yeah.
It's funny. I watched the movie twice as I was explaining to you.
What you say? I can't remember the rest of the song.
I'm having a lot of trouble remembering how she was involved in the movie. Wouldn't she have been like 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a scene in the film where Hugh Grant... it's a great movie. Everybody's got to watch it. It's the best movie. Hugh Grant hilariously has to accidentally pretend to be on a press junket to interview Julia Roberts, even though he's just trying to go on a date with her.
There's four scenes
okay,
where
fine.
Hugh Grant has to accidentally be in a press junket to impress Julia Roberts so he can go on a date.
Sure.
With her.
There's one. But then after
two
he...
Two and a half.
Sure. I would say there's probably just one of those scenes. And he interviews her, and then it goes weird. And then he leaves, and the person's like, well, don't you want to interview the other people in this movie that you haven't
yeah.
seen and you're not a journalist?
Oh, Mr. Becker. Mr. Becker. If you'd like to come with me, we can just rush you through the others.
The others?
And he interviews a young girl.
So, is this your first film?
No, it's my 22nd.
Of course it is.
It was Misha
and
Barton.
That's Misha Barton. What you say? I can't do the whole song, but you have to. You remember that meme?
Oh sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's barfing.
She barfing?
In Sixth Sense, which I think was right around.
Is she barfing in Sixth Sense at around this time?
Right
okay, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
I guess
that's
I didn't recognize her without the barf.
Okay. Yeah. So Misha Barton's in it. And who else?
That's pretty much
no
it.
One. Yeah. Oh, some other people. Someone from Downton Abbey, I learned.
Hugh Bonneville.
While watching this. Yeah. Hugh Bonneville is in it. What a great movie. It's a perfect film. Should we describe it?
Yeah. Let's describe the film.
So you think that I've modeled myself after one of the characters from this film, presumably the diffident Hugh Grant character.
I've now tracked Hugh Grant through.
Yeah. The ages.
Time and space.
Yeah.
And sort of seen like the little like flares that shoot off of mm-hmm. Hugh Grant, where you take like a movie like Four Weddings and a Funeral as a blueprint and you're like, let's put
yeah.
two very funny men in it.
Yeah. And then you got Wedding Crashers. It sounds like you're talking about Hugh Grant's Virgil Dance.
And I think just seeing the kind of like evolution of Hugh Grant and his characters through
mm-hmm.
the years, and knowing you for many years now and becoming familiar with the person you were before we were friends
uh-huh.
through our weekly conversations together, I just see a lot of similarities.
Okay, that's nice. I'll take it. It's fine. He's quite charming. So he...
Yeah, I'm not saying... I'm not saying the looks. Obviously not the looks. He is incredibly handsome. Even like,
he's very good
you
looking.
Know what? I'll say it. He was even pretty good looking in music and lyrics.
Oh, wow. There we go. Silver Fox. He owns a failing travel bookshop. Guess who comes into it? Biggest movie star in the world. It is established not just that she's a movie star, she is the biggest movie star in the world. She walks into his travel bookshop. She tries to buy a book. He does some like very charming flirting with her and then accidentally spills orange juice on her. And she has to go into his house in Notting Hill where he flirts with her more and she gives him a great big smackaroo.
Yeah.
On the lips.
Yeah. And little Nicky's big brother is there. He's already sort of on Earth causing mischief.
Yeah.
He's always like slinking about in his underpants.
Yeah.
So this is sort of like, it's a good movie, I'll admit. Is it a great soft universe boot
of the little Nicky
verse? Little Nicky universe? I don't know.
Yeah. That's a question for somebody who's seen the film. You know what it is? It's a Cinderella story.
Little Nicky? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it is. Little Nicky is a Cinderella story.
Oh, okay. No, I was actually talking about this one. It's a Cinderella story, but Hugh Grant's Cinderella. He lives with his ugly sister, little Nicky's big brother. And Julia Roberts
his name was Adrian. Let me go look.
Okay. I wish you wouldn't. Julia Roberts is the handsome Prince Charming. Isn't that good? I've just come up with that. And that's what this is. It's a Cinderella story, but it's the boy is Cinderella. And yeah, welcome to the future. If you don't like it, get out.
Yeah. All right, here we are. 2000. Little Nicky. He plays Adrian. Yeah, Adrian. So we can just refer to him as character. Now you know that when we say Adrian, we mean Little Nicky's big brother.
Okay, that's perfect. Yeah, and I'll say, but we can move on. But I'll say, you said, "Yeah, Adrian," as if someone had asked you. It really felt like you really sold it. Like it was like someone had asked you, "Oh, what was his name?" And you're like, "Yeah, no, it's Adrian." But that was a journey you went on entirely by yourself, and in fact, against my express wishes.
She very
but that's
robotically
good.
And woodenly invites herself to Hugh Grant's baby sister's birthday party.
No, let's knock it off with the robotic. It's called subtlety.
Her performance was just so bizarre. I've seen her in movies. She's really good. And this one, she was just so bizarre.
Just a girl standing in front of a boy. She's Jenny from the Block. She wants to have a normal life. She has a crazy movie star life. Her boyfriend is Alec Baldwin. He's an asshole. Alec Baldwin's in this one.
Yeah. And it was the swinging 90s or whatever. When is it? 99?
No.
It was the swinging 90s. So it was okay that she was cheating on her serious boyfriend to be with this.
I think he is a monster.
Bookseller. Yeah.
He's
and
a monster.
It's sort of revealed that he's a monster. Yeah.
And then we have this wonderful scene where she goes to Hugh Grant's sister's birthday party and all of these British people are just
friends.
Like awkwardly. Oh, Sarah made a very good point when we were watching this, that scene where they're like all charming at the birthday party is the same scene that we saw in Sliding Doors.
Did we watch Sliding Doors?
It's the same scene that we saw in Sliding Doors where instead of showing that all the friends are charming, they just do a Monty Python sketch. But in this, because
terrible.
It's Richard Curtis, it's like extremely well written and funny. And you come away being like, gosh, I wish all these people were my friends. They're so charming. It makes Hugh Grant look good that he's got such lovely friends. And it charms
the friends
pants
are all
off
really great.
Julia Roberts.
They are all a little one note, I will say. One of them's in a wheelchair, and all she really seems to talk about is being in a wheelchair. One of them is a restaurateur. And all he seems to really talk about is being a restaurateur.
They all talk about their like sad
broker.
Sack lives.
And then Jenny from the Block shows up and spices things up a little bit and they get really serious. And she admits to your point that she's tired of all these men who want her just because she's a Hollywood star.
Famous.
And she's found someone who doesn't even know who she is. And
he doesn't care about
friends,
that stuff.
Hugh Bonneville is very funny in this movie, and he has a whole conversation with her where he doesn't realize who she is. He's very like patronizing to her.
It's really funny.
Assume
it's
she's
like,
talking
how much
about,
did you make
like,
on
local
your last
community
film?
Theater at first. It's really good.
Very funny. We should say, let's talk a little bit about Helix.
Helix.
That's the gist of the film. If you haven't watched it, I can't help you. I can't help you with your life if you haven't watched it. It's one of the best.
I watched
it is
this
the
morning.
Best movie.
Why are you coming at me with
no,
this
No, I'm talking
attitude?
To the listeners.
Oh, God.
We've described enough of the film. I think we should talk a little bit about Helix. So the film that Julia Roberts is in, is marketing when she meets Hugh Grant, looks awesome. It's called Helix. I figured we could maybe flesh it out a little bit. Here's what we know about it.
Yes.
It looks like 2001, A Space Odyssey, kind of like tonally. It looks, there's a lot of like slow builds of her like walking through like spacey stuff.
She gets mistaken for Demi Moore in one pretty funny scene.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably
like
a good
star.
Yeah. So
I
what?
Demi
have you
Moore
seen
was
G.I.
an action
Jane?
Star. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was about to say that to you.
I think.
Don't come at me with that.
Demi Moore at the height of her powers. Actually, probably.
Yeah, women can be soldiers. It's 1999.
Yeah, women can be soldiers. Yeah, guess when I watched G.I. Jane for the first time?
Couldn't possibly
I'll
be
tell
interesting,
you.
Whatever you say.
Last week.
I guess it was
That's
interesting.
Pretty interesting.
That it's sort of yeah. come back. That quickly.
I suddenly was like, you know what? I've never watched G.I. Jane. I put it on fucking rules. Absolutely owns. What a great movie. Yeah. It's, literally, it says, she is the biggest movie star in the world. Pick the biggest female movie star in the world. Who is it?
Right now.
Or in the 90s. Julia Roberts. She's Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. Yeah.
She's Julia Roberts.
Meg Ryan. Yeah. She also gets compared to Meg Ryan at one point.
I think she's Julia Roberts. That's actually a good approximation of who she is.
Yeah.
Can you wrap your noodle around that?
I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not the first time. Have you seen Ocean's 12? They do that shit in Ocean's 12 too.
Okay, sure.
They use her as like a dazzle, you know?
Let's
like,
flesh
oh, Julia
out
Julia Roberts is here. And then they
Here's what we know about it. At the 25-minute mark, it's described, Helix is described as
Close Encounters meet Jean de Florette.
Yeah. I've seen Close Encounters.
Jean de Florette is a movie I've brought up a few times on this podcast. And in fact, I often compare myself to Jean de Florette.
Jean de
Well, I guess not Florette. Jean de Florette. I compare myself to the Gerard Depardieu character in the film Jean de Florette. You don't need Wikipedia for it. I am the Wikipedia for Jean de Florette. I'll just tell you. Don't look it up. Look at me. I will tell you. We used to watch it in French class all the time. I've seen it like 20 times.
I haven't ever been in a French
very
class.
Sad. It's extremely sad. It's about like some old-timey French dudes.
We listened to Die Prinzen.
It's Daniel Auteuil and Gerard Depardieu, and Daniel Auteuil wants to grow beautiful flowers to sell, and Gerard Depardieu sets up, and he wants to breed rabbits, and Jean de Florette discovers a spring on Gerard Depardieu's property and secretly siphons it away so he can use it to grow his flowers, and Gerard Depardieu then dies because of it, because he has to walk to the well. It's so sad. Spoilers for Jean de Florette came out in like the 80s. So it's, you know, just like sad French people like kind of fucking up and like ruining each other's lives and then being sad and guilty about it. Wow. So it's that plus Close Encounters. That sounds pretty good.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And
Close
the other
Encounters
thing we
is a pretty weird movie too. A lot
yeah.
of emotional stuff wrapped up in that.
The other thing we know about it, well, we know three other things about it. One,
yeah, please.
It has a psychotic flesh-eating robot in it.
Give me one moment here. I'm just going to be doing something in the background here just to get some impressions on what we're describing.
So you've got that. You've noted that. It's Close Encounters. It's Jean de Florette. It has a psychotic flesh-eating robot in it, which kind of doesn't fit with either of those genres. So I'd be interested to see how that character comes across in this seemingly ponderous, possibly French film in space. And Close Encounters is kind of ponderous, too, in a way. It's about obsession.
So it's Close Encounters meets Jean de Florette with, and what was it, space monsters?
A psychotic flesh-eating robot. Hugh Grant, when he's on the junket, interviews this guy very amusingly, and he's like,
did you identify with the character you're playing?
And the guy's like,
no.
And Hugh Grant's like,
why not?
He's like, well.
Porque es un robot carnívoro psicópata.
Because he's playing a psychopathic flesh-eating robot.
Got it.
And then we know two other things. One, it's got a young Misha Barton in it. What you say? So there's a young, and I can't remember what part she plays. And then finally, we know it has no horses.
It has what?
No horses.
So I guess it makes it ineligible for our other hit segment, Love in the Time of Horses.
Yeah, we got to have horses in that. That's just for the branding. So that's what we know about the film. And that's that. What have you been doing meanwhile? I feel like I've been carrying a lot of the load here, but I'm hoping that what you've been doing is something that's going to be, that's going to come in and take some of that load off of me. This is where you carried me.
I have loaded some of that into like a script building machine. As you know, Hollywood's on strike right now.
Right.
This is probably a pretty tasteless time to do exactly what we're doing.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
But, you know, I think we can speculate all day about what this movie is, but let's actually put pen to paper here.
Let's just see what it would look like. Yeah.
You say you, so give me some parameters. You want it to be French. That feels right to you, right?
Sure.
It's sort of, you know what it keeps pitching to me, the automatic script generator?
What?
There's a few key elements. I asked it to give me five pitches in a few sentences.
Yeah.
With the components that we loaded into it. And there's a few things that keep coming across. It's definitely like small, idyllic French village. And like Julia Roberts is like a wise herbalist and young Barton is her daughter. So it's sort of like Beauty and the Beast age. What is that?
Yeah. Let me, I guess, stop you there if I can. We know that it's in space. The whole thing is in space.
Well, they do incorporate the aliens.
Can you,
I think it's sort of
the...
like an alien narrative, except it's in sort of like whatever, like 1600s France.
But in space. It's because she's in space.
I guess they
time.
Could probably get like abducted into space and they could like blow up the space aliens from the inside using like 1600s know-how. That would actually be pretty fucking wicked.
That would be wicked. We know from having seen clips of it that she's in a modern spacesuit and a modern spaceship. So we'll need to find a way to shoehorn that in.
Well, let's do the fucking work here.
Okay, let's do the work. So script generator given us anything to work with?
She's a passionate astronomer as well as a wise village herbalist.
Okay, she's a passionate astronomer and wise village herbalist. We can have that stuff in flashbacks. There's no horses. In a village without horses. That's the opening line.
Okay, yeah. So maybe this is like a, you know, the Netflix adaptation of...
The scene...
Time and Love in the Time of Horses.
Exterior.
So exterior, village, no horses.
Village, no horses. It's a time of no horses. It's the opposite like to do.
Title.
Yeah, Helix. I see, yeah.
No. There should be like something describing... We've done the like intro credits. Everyone knows the movie's called Helix, starring Julia Roberts, Misha Barton, others.
Yeah.
We see this like establishing shot of French countryside... No horses.
No
and
horses.
And there's a title
not a horse
on the
in sight.
Where in France do we want this to take place? Is it important? Let's say, where's all the lavenders?
I think probably it's, you know where Jean de Floret takes place? It's probably in Normandy.
Yeah, let's say Normandy.
Okay.
Also tasteless, I think.
Yeah. Maybe it's Marseille.
Having the robot write the script.
Maybe it's
for
in
us.
Marseille. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Let's say Marseille. That feels better. Yeah. So yeah, they live in Marseille. So it says Marseille, France. Or what do they say? How do they say France in French? Français.
La France.
La France. And then under it, it says no horses? Or is there like a sign in the establishment?
I think you show, don't tell.
Like a horse with.
Maybe you have people like are riding around on each, like giving each other piggybacks in a way that's like, oh.
People this... will think it's like a kink community.
This looks like a normal French village, but clearly they don't. When I expected to see a horse, instead there's not that.
Can I make a recommendation?
Sure.
Do you want to go like sort of like steampunk fantasy with this? And instead of riding on horses, everyone seems to be riding around on like mechanical animals.
Great.
And then we zoom in to the workshop of late 1600s, like, tinkerer, played by Julia Roberts.
Okay.
And her young daughter, who's like, I don't know.
Misha's her daughter. That's great.
Misha's her daughter, and she's sick, and she's always puking, like...
Like, from Sixth Sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And every time she does, they play that Imogen Heap song.
It's the only village in France that has these mechanical horses. They've all been built by this brilliant tinker engineer.
Yeah.
And then aliens come.
Yes, flesh-eating robots.
Start killing all the villagers. The daughter is immune, and that drives the aliens wild.
Okay, that's good. And they have to go to space. That's
good. And
then
they abduct the daughter to figure out some like anti-venom to her barf. Mm-hmm. And Julia Roberts has to like hitch a ride and use her steam. This is Wild Wild West, I'm realizing. This is what I'm thinking.
Okay. it's what you've pitched Wild Wild West. Wild Wild West, Jim West, Desperado,
Rough Rider, no you don't want nada. She has to use her like steampunk devices to fight the aliens on their spaceship.
There we go. God, now it's in space.
This is a good fucking movie.
It fucking rules. Here. Yeah.
Get her daughter back to Earth.
And then we'll just kind of kill Gerard Depardieu at the end of it.
Then like the escape pod they use to get out of the alien spaceship will like
lands on him.
Smash into the spring, I think.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. Okay.
Just sort of eradicate
his best plans.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, everybody watch Helix, and we're allowed to talk about it as long as we want because it's about Notting Hill, film within a film. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here. I'm excited to tell you about a little money-making project that Evil Tanner and I are cooking up called Wetter Help. It's basically the same concept as our sponsors, BetterHelp, but we're not going to run into any copyright problems this time because Wetter Help does everything our competitors do, but we do it soggier, damper, and with a 100% moistness guarantee, or your money back. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. But if you want to get absolutely drenched, BetterHelp has literally nothing to offer you. At BetterHelp, we'll spray you down with a hose, steep you for a full half hour in the most sodden, saturated slop we can find, and then throw you in a lake. The only thing BetterHelp can do is find you a therapist to work through your stuff in a way that will help you face the world and practice self-care, all while completely bone dry. If you want to develop self-awareness that helps you build a social life that doesn't drain your battery, or find a healthy balance in your relationships with other people in your life, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime...
Tanner! I just don't think this one works. Tanner!
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows. Okay, so we said the whole movie, basically. And we said Helix. So you're getting to, which Notting Hill didn't bother to do. So as a listener, I feel like you got more than you paid for. What are you doing?
Sorry, you're talking to me? What?
No, sometimes when I it feels like I'm addressing someone who's not you, it's because I'm speaking to the, you know, the show goes out, right? And people listen to it.
I'm sorry. We're just standing here in this hotel lobby.
Yes.
Ritz-Carlton.
Whoa,
having just walked in together.
Yeah, just was very disoriented because it feels like
we're in character and we're standing here in this hotel lobby. You of course can hear the like atmospheric sounds around us.
Yes.
The slight echo to our voice, the murmuring in the background, the sort of sounds of a hotel lobby. And here you are just sort of speaking nonsense. And of course I know you well. You're
Jeff.
Jeff. Yep.
Yes. And you are Elmer.
Star reporters.
Star reporters, it feels like. Yeah.
In London for the weekend. Entertainment reporters, I would say.
Yeah.
It's kind of the buzzin' 90s, you know, late 90s.
Yeah.
These guys are kind of like TMZ types, I would say, before TMZ really existed. Kind of following the trends around. And I think Jeff and Elmer are in town tracking.
Anna, her name is Anna. Anna Scott.
Anna Scott. We're sort of following her around.
Following her around to write up press junket stuff about like the movie that's not even out yet.
What do we write for? It's got to be something pretty impressive because they've put us up in the Ritz-Carlton.
That's true. I mean, it's what's England's equivalent of the Hollywood Reporter?
Oh, I don't know. You're English. You tell me. Oh, FMV.
FHM.
FHM. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're writing for FHM. That's pretty good. That feels right. Yeah. Or Uncut.
That would be good too.
Is that like a circumcision thing?
You know, it's funny. I used to read Uncut all the time, and I think I even subscribed to it, or I certainly bought it when it came out all the time. It's a music magazine. But when I said it to you just now, I was like, sounds like a circumcision magazine.
Yeah, I don't know why I think that. I guess maybe I
well,
have
it's British,
the lightest you know? impression that British men are generally. So I don't know.
Yeah. So it's like kind of flag waving.
Are we still in the hotel lobby?
Yeah, sorry. I was just shooting the shit with my fellow reporter, Elmer. Shall we follow?
I'm just waiting to check in. This guy fellow. Just like, these two men like rushed in front of us.
Yeah.
Into the lobby.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hi. Is Miss Scott staying here?
No, sir.
How about Miss Finstone?
No, sir.
Bambi?
No, sir.
Or, I don't know, Beavis or...
He's astonishingly good looking.
Yeah. I guess we're now overhearing the bellhop.
There was a Miss Pocahontas, but she checked out about an hour ago. Well, I believe she's holding a press conference at the Savoy before flying to America.
I oh, suppose. Wonderful.
Well, that's actually the press conference we're heading to next. So
that's the one where Anna Scott from that fucking weird movie that's like like Wild Wild West.
Him and so he kissed a man on the lips, and then his friend from Downton Abbey. He says,
"We have liftoff."
Then he does also kiss the man on the lips.
Should we kiss this man on the lips?
I'm not sure. I was just like checking in my room. We do have to get over to the Savoy.
Yeah, we should go to the Savoy.
We're incredibly late for the press conference.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go over our questions. I was thinking about asking Anna Scott, the most famous film star in the world, how much longer she's planning to stay in England. I think the readers of FHM will be that with my one question.
Yeah.
I think the readers of FHM are going to really want to fucking know. I'm thinking she might say something, anything along the lines of a couple more days, no more time, a week. Any of those answers would be so interesting for me to write down and put in FHM. But what are you thinking about asking her?
I'm writing an article about how London hotels treat people in wheelchairs, so I might just ask her about that.
Okay, yeah.
Sort of a threat, yeah. Like a veiled threat.
Yeah.
But it seems like we've followed in that same man from earlier. The handsome man in the pink shirt.
Yeah. The last time you were here, there were some fairly graphic photographs taken of you with a young English guy. So what happened there?
He was just a friend. We're still friends, I think.
Yeah, he seems very
nervous. I think I overheard that he writes for Horses and Hounds magazine.
Yes, gentleman in the pink shirt.
Oh, he's raising his hand. He has a question.
Miss Scott, are there any circumstances in which the two of you might be more than just good friends?
I hoped there would be, but no, I'm assured there aren't.
I have a question about...
What would you say if,
I'm sorry. Just the one question, please.
Yes, thank you. Sorry.
No, it's all right. You were saying?
Did you mean me?
It's supposed to be one question per person. And
yeah. He doesn't get another question, does he? When you said you were saying, you meant me, right? Because I'm going to be fucking livid.
Write for an industry publication.
And his last question was nonsense.
And we're trying to figure out how much longer she's going to be in England. The readers of FHM want to know.
I was just wondering if, just wondered whether, if Mr. Thacker realized he'd been a daft prick and got down on his knees and begged you to reconsider whether you would in fact then reconsider.
Yes, I believe I would.
That's very good news. The readers of Horse and Hound will be absolutely delighted.
Okay, now everyone's cheering.
Yeah, I actually have more questions.
Yeah, I have a lot more questions. We still haven't, I don't think, established, because we're getting mixed messages about how long she's going to be in the country.
Right. Dominic, if you'd like to ask your question again.
Yeah? Anna, how long are you intending to stay here in Britain?
Actually, that was his question.
Yeah, that was my question.
That guy stole Jeff's question.
Indefinitely.
Okay, well, that was Jeff and Elmer, everybody's favorite characters, folks. You all know and love them.
I haven't
them.
Heard
we
any
don't
feedback,
need to,
but you know, we assume yeah. it's everyone's favorite.
I think everybody's just kind of so just starstruck by whenever Jeff and Elmer appear that they like are dumbfounded and don't want to mess with a good thing by giving any feedback, you know?
Yeah. Why mess with success? If it ain't broke.
I do have, on the one hand, if you'd like to leave and have Arbiter Tanner come.
Let's just, okay, let's just do Arbiter Tanner.
Okay, great. You get out of here. You go. Arbiter Tanner.
Did you hear that?
Yeah,
the bubble.
It's nice to see you back, Arbiter Tanner. I hope you didn't cross the time streams with Jeff and Elmer, who I think were just getting out of, you know, they. I don't know what they do, but we know that they're time travelers, I think.
The FMV writers? FHM?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know their work.
Tough to know what it is that they are.
Yeah.
Welcome, Arbiter Tanner. You know why you're here. It's our segment. It's called On the One Hand. It's where we review the Rotten Tomatoes reviews of the movie.
I dispense justice. I dispense arbitration on across three different mini segments within the segment. Do you want to introduce the first one?
Yeah, first one's called On the One Hand, confusingly. And we've got a few of these because everyone likes this movie. It's where we look at the good, positive reviews of the film. The first one is from Tom M., who gave this film 5 stars on March 26, 2023. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
Rage Against the Machine.
Not the lead singer, but it is. He's lead guitarist. Anyway, Tom Morello. Yeah. And he says that it's the best film. He says, best film ever to grace humanity.
Wow. Is he an angel?
That's correct. Yeah. This is maybe in the City of Angels verse.
Yeah.
I think that's no notes on that. Best film ever to grace humanity.
What are we saying? I guess who? I'm sort of I've put on my like archaeologist hat and I'm thinking back to your timeline.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if do you know the movie the 2000 movie, the Adam Sandler movie Little Nicky?
Yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah. I was actually talking about it with Tanner earlier. So
I'm wondering if that shares a narrative universe with City of Angels. Cuz like the rules for manifesting on Earth are similar, you know?
Well, if that's true, then we can also put in I think it's called The Seventh Day. It's a late era Arnold Schwarzenegger
Arnold
film.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, fights, great movie.
Fights the devil.
Really good movie. Didn't Keanu do a movie called Devil's Advocate where he is a lawyer for the devil?
Yeah, so Al Pacino.
That's a good
is
movie.
The devil.
Wow, what a like golden era of like devil movies.
Yeah.
Really glad I put on my archaeologist hat for this.
Perfect. So Tom Morello says best film to ever grace humanity. And he is, of course, referring, he's kind of just like winking at the connections to the Little Nicky.
Yeah. And City of Angels.
Anonymous gave this film 5 stars on April 10th, 2022. Anonymous, she says, the funniest PG-13 Julia Roberts comedy ever. LOL.
Maybe that was the problem with this movie was it was PG-13.
I guess I just included this because it's weird. Like, it's hyper specific because how many PG-13 Julia Roberts comedies are there? Two to three.
You want me to put my archaeologist hat back on and find out.
I don't know. I think I'll speculate
it's no
that it's two
answer.
To three.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of damning with faint praise.
Yeah.
And it's also
it's better than the other ones.
It's weird to include PG-13 in there, just in general.
I think some people like spend a lot of time. You know what? I got to admit now as a dad.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time on Common Sense Media, which I don't even know what that is.
It feels like Christian. Kind of I spend a lot
Christian
of time on it.
Organization.
I spend a lot of time on it because it's like, not a lot of time, but I'll often, if
like,
you Google like,
scan.
Is it okay for a kid to watch this? Because I don't want them to get scared.
Yeah.
You'll end up on Common Sense Media and it feels Christian. But it's like quite, I mean, you know, that's not derogatory.
It's
just like
though.
Feels Christian.
And
but,
there's, it doesn't feel like there's any judgment. They're just sort of saying like, yeah, this happens in the movie.
This will scare you, your kid. Anonymous, another member of the Hacker Collective Anonymous, gave this film 4.5 stars on October 8th, 2011. And they've used this forum, Rotten Tomatoes. I'm not sure if it's allowed to address Hugh Grant. They're trying to, they're basically, this is their equivalent of sliding into
Mr. Grant.
Mr. Grant. Yeah. They're Jeff and Elmer of their day.
Yeah.
Sliding into his DMs. And they've asked this question.
Hugh Grant, you know what?
I think if anything, okay. if there's, sorry, just interrupt.
That's okay.
If there's any reason we're doing this,
yeah,
it's to use our platform to amplify the voices of people, rank and file. Who's this, Anonymous?
This is the member of the Hacker Collective, Anonymous. Yeah.
It's to raise the voices of people like Anonymous. So I think if Hugh Grant didn't see this comment on Rotten Tomatoes, maybe he
would hear a chance.
Like having surely heard that we're doing Hugh Grant's Vernal Dance.
Yeah. 12 years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally.
But I'm glad to finally provide this service. Go ahead.
Here's the question that Anonymous asks of Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant, why did you make this film awesome?
You think he made the movie?
Well, it's not saying why did you make the film. It's saying why did you make this film
he
awesome?
Made it awesome. Yeah, but this movie
and
worked with anyone else. Adam Sandler surely would have drawn me in at the time if it was Adam Sandler instead of Hugh Grant.
No, no. What about Jude Law? I think I'd watch this with Jude Law. Yeah.
I think he has to be a bit of like a, his friends all sort of seem like they're in their like 30s, you know? They're all sort of a little like they've had their careers. Some of them taken off. Most of them haven't. Like we're entering the second phase of their life.
Yeah.
So it needs to be someone a little older. And I think in 99, Jude Law is probably like
20. Too young. Well, I think only Hugh Grant could do this. But Sir Patrick Stewart, perfect. Hugh Grant, I guess we'll leave it to Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant, it's Hugh Grant's Vernal Dance. I imagine we'll be having him on the show after the success of this month of Hugh Grant programming.
Yeah, I said earlier we might have to squeeze in an extra Hugh Grant movie just to appease Jared's creative process. But it's really just to give his bookers time to like get in touch with us.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll leave that question unanswered. We'll leave it for Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant, if you're listening, why did you make this film awesome?
Yeah.
This is a segment within a segment we like to call On the Fence Hand. It's where we talk about the middling reviews of the film. I've only collected one. It's a 4-star review of the film by a member of the Hacker Collective, Anonymous, written on December 23rd, 2013. And Anonymous says,
Christmas time.
It just make me cry.
Yeah, it sort of make me cry towards the end too.
It make me cry.
The part that make me cry the most was definitely when the guy got out of his car to get his wife who was in the wheelchair.
Oh yeah, that was really sweet.
Put her in the car.
They were in a big hurry and she was like, we don't have time for me to go. And he was like, you come on all our adventures, and it's sweet. That's lovely.
That was my tearful moment. Okay. I don't know if we do that segment anymore.
We haven't.
It's back.
Yeah.
It's an echo from the past.
I cry when she says,
don't forget, I'm also just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her.
You know what? I didn't know about that quote, that very famous quote.
Yeah.
It's from this movie.
Yeah. Am I wrong that your wife had it in her like Twitter bio for a while?
Yeah. She did. I know it as a very famous quote, but I was like, I've never seen this movie, so I never know it from this movie. And when she said it, I was like, oh, she's referencing something. And I went and looked it up and I was like,
no, it's from this.
Notting Hill. Yeah.
There's a very funny scene where after she says that, he's like, sorry, you've had your last chance. And then he goes and tells his friends and he's like, she said, I'm just a girl standing with a boy, but I did the right thing, right? And they're like, what the fuck, dude? Like, Julia Roberts came and said, like, the most iconic romance line to you, and you fucking, like, blew her up. She gave you, like, an original Chagall painting.
Oh, yeah, she does do that. And that also really impresses her friends.
Funny.
And then he goes and pretends to be a journalist again, sort of his shtick.
Something
does it,
we're
like,
used
4
to.
Times, even though Jack asserted vehemently earlier that it was only once. He goes to the press junket. He then goes to set and gets to like listen in like he's a director.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the like press conference and is immediately called on.
Yeah. And says he's the guy from Horse and Hound. This is a segment within a segment called On the Other Hand. It's where we talk about the negative reviews of the film. I've collected 3 short ones. First one is from a member of the Hacker Collective, Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Yeah.
You know,
I know. What the hell? At least present a united front.
Yeah.
Anonymous gives this film 1 star on January 12th, 2018, and says the following thing. Oh, this one's one of those ones that I put in just to mock them. Okay. I can't believe the ratings are so high for this movie. If you like cheating affairs and stereotypical cheesy romance where people make horrible mistakes and never repent, you will love this. Maybe a normal heterosexual romance story isn't for me.
This is, you know what? I think there's a new branch of Rotten Tomatoes reviewers. We've often encountered and ridiculed in the past, like God Warriors.
Yeah.
We're out here like,
this movie is like this like extremely normcore movie is like somehow against God. Yeah.
But I think there's a new one, which is
because they like have sex before marriage. It's like, hey, welcome to movies.
There's a new one, sensitive in touch millennials and Gen Zers reacting to like
people,
you know,
like
sarcastic, cheating or aloof,
like, oh yeah,
Gen X 90s comedies.
Yeah, that's fun. You think that's what this is?
I think that's absolutely what this is.
Because it's weird, it takes you on a weird journey. Because
like this early 90s stuff, there's like a mean edge to it sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it's all self-deprecating and ironic. But this, I don't want to dwell on this review for too long, but the journey it takes you on, it like starts by being like, to paraphrase, this movie is bad because it glorifies cheating, which I guess like she's like kind of in an on again, off again with Alec Baldwin, who's like a bad person. And she, I guess, cheats on him with Hugh Grant. So it's like, that's a weird take on this movie. I guess you had it. But it's a weird take to be like, this movie glorifies cheating. But then it ends.
He also just did it in Four Weddings and a Funeral, too. So I don't know why people are scandalized here, but not there.
But it's just a weird thing to pick up on in the film, frankly.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
But then, like, the end of the review.
I think it's a generational divide.
Anonymous says this. I'll read this to you again. It's a really odd thing to say, especially after like going on this tirade against cheating. Like you're expecting a certain type of person. Then Anonymous says, maybe a normal heterosexual romance story isn't for me.
That's what makes me also think it's Gen Z.
What? Like, is it?
Consideration. You know,
maybe they're like, I went into this movie to see if
I gave
the
it a
heterosexual
try,
lifestyle,
you know?
Is right, and I've come out of it being like, A, I'm still like strongly against cheating, and B, I guess questioning my sexuality, which is fine, but like a weird journey to go on in a Rotten Tomatoes review.
Yeah. Also a Gen Z trait, I think, over sharing.
Yeah, yeah, Gen Z. I get that. Fair enough. Okay.
I had a similar experience watching Little Nicky, me, Arbiter Tanner.
Yeah.
You have two more other short ones?
I've got two more short ones. Alec Kay gives this film 2 stars on October 5th, 2012. Alec Kay says the following thing. My favorite comedy film is 1933's Duck Soup.
Marx Brothers.
Yes.
So, sorry, I still have my archaeology hat on.
Yeah. I just thought that's an odd review to be like, full stop. That's the whole review.
Two star review. My favorite.
Two stars. To Notting Hill.
I think what he has actually done here is given us a connection between the like Duck Soup Marx Brothers universe and
perfect
Notting Hill.
Little Nicky.
He's like
Well,
that's like another branch off of Notting Hill.
Yeah. You
know? But I guess they are connected now via Notting Hill.
Yeah.
But he's saying like, I'm comparing that film to this film, 1930s Duck Soup. And I'm
unfavorably.
It's not apples and oranges. It's apples and apples because I've made it that way. So now those two universes are connected. Perfect.
That's useful. Thank you, Alex. Finally, Anonymous, member of the Hacker Collective, gave this film 2.5 stars, April 19th, 2011, says the following thing. It takes less than 20 minutes for the first absolutely realistic and believable kiss to be displayed.
Why are you timing it? It's like
moments
Mr.
like
kiss.
He's like Mr. Butt, isn't he? Yeah.
If there wasn't already,
I think he's implying that there are some unrealistic and unbelievable kisses in the first 10 to 15 minutes. So
what
it's
I'm
a little.
Say is I've watched the first 10 to 15 minutes of this movie twice in the last day.
Yeah.
And I don't think I thought any of the kisses at all were notable.
Unrealistic. Yeah. So it's a weird opening line. And then Anonymous says, moments like those are the ones that make you regret your number one rule for movie watching. Never leave a movie unfinished. And unfinished is in all caps. And it's weird for him to say
that. I've come
back
around. This guy wins.
Okay. Well, let me just finish his review here. He says, that rule, of course, can sometimes mean torture. It's a double-edged sword. I hate myself. 55 out of 100.
Wow.
What a trip. What a ride. Anonymous. What a ride. Never leave a movie unfinished. I guess I do appreciate that. But he's
he lives by a code. He lives by a creed, and I admire that very much. So he wins. Yeah, he wins my affection and my kisses this week. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pour back to the future now.
Goodbye. Welcome back, Tanner. Tanner, we're going to leave.
Great.
It's time to go. I'll fill you in on what Arbiter Tanner said later. He has also seen Little Nicky.
Sort of worried it's going to... Oh, he knows Little Nicky? God, I wish I could hook up with this dude. He sounds so bad.
I'll like to say goodbye to you and say goodbye to our listeners for the time being. We'll be back.
Great.
But this has been a lovely experience podcasting with you. I'm just a man sitting in front of a man and podcasting with him.
Yeah, and we did it.
Yeah.
You said indefinitely earlier, but it only took like an hour.
That's fair enough, but we'll probably be back. But I'd like folks to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Please.
Yeah, it's just really good.
Yeah, it's good and fun in there.
We do the must-see TV lineup.
Yeah, and now it's back to TGIF. You can join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook, and you can rate and review our show wherever you do that. Thank you to everybody who's done any of those things, and folks who just listen and don't do those things. We love you and kiss you as well.
Get off your ass.
Finally, I would like to say that this week we watched a movie. The movie we watched was called Notting Hill. It is the best movie. I don't know what we're watching next week.
It depends on Tanner's editing Mr. this one. Grant's I'm praying. Bookers.
Praying that Tanner's editing this one, in which
Tanner definitely edited this one. That's why it sounds probably better than usual.
We're
just waiting on Hugh Grant's bookers to get back to us to know whether or not we need to squeeze one more into hashtag
HGVD.
Yeah, please do get out there, start trafficking that hashtag, start using it. Tell us about the HGVD moments that you're having this April, May. You can stretch into June if you want. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's still vernal.
Yeah.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Green Ring.
And I hope that you find your Will Thackeray ever after. His name is Will Thacker in the movie. Should have said that earlier.